Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanna Chari. Yamuna Tira Vanna Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. 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 Yamuna Tira Vanna Chari. Yamuna Tira Vanna Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivrajikacharya Astotra Satoshi Srimad, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaya Charanarvindam Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, BBT Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Guru Binda Ki Jai, Grantharaja Srimad Bhagavata Mahapurana Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Kalachanji Ki Jai, Sri Krishna Janamasmi Mahatsava Ki Jai, Sri Gaura Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai, Nitai Gaura Pimanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 28. Please repeat after me. Ete chang sakala pungsa. Ete chang sakala pungsa. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. In Rari Vyakulam Loka. In Rari Vyakulam Loka. Medayanti Yuge Yuge. Medayanti Yuge Yuge. Ete chang shakala pungsa. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. In Rari Vyakulang Loka. Medayanti Yuge Yuge. Please repeat. Ete chang shakala pungsa. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Rari Vyakulam Lokam. Medayanti Yuge Yuge. Ete chang shakala pungsa. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. In Rari Vyakulam Loka. Medayanti Yuge Yuge. Ete Chang Shakala Pungsa. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. In Rari Vyakulam Loka. Medayanti Yuge Yuge. Matajis. Ete Changsha Kalapungsa. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. In Rari Vyakulam Lokam. Medayanti Yuge Yuge. Any other Matajis? Ete chang sakala pungsa. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Rari Vyakulam Lokam. Medayanti Yuge Yuge. Anybody else? Ete, all these, cha, and, angsha, plenary portions, kalaha, portions of the plenary portions, pungshaha, of the supreme Krishna. Lord Krishna. Tu Bhat. Bhagavan. The personality of Godhead. Swayam. In person. Indrari. The enemies of Indra. Vyakulam. Disturbed. Loka. All the planets. Midyanti. Gives protection. Yuge. In different ages. Translation, please repeat after me. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the atheists. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this particular stanza, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is distinguished from other incarnations. He is counted among the avatars, incarnations, because out of His causeless mercy, the Lord descends from His transcendental abode. Avatar means one who descends. All the incarnations of the Lord, including the Lord Himself, descend on the different planets of the material world, as also in different species of life, to fulfill particular missions. Sometimes He comes Himself. And sometimes His different plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions or His differentiated portions, directly or indirectly empowered by Him, descend on this material world to execute certain specific functions. Originally, the Lord is full of all opulences, all prowess, all fame, all fames, all beauties, all knowledge, and all renunciations. When they are partly manifested through the plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions, it should be noted that certain manifestations of His different powers are required for those particular functions. When in the room small electric bulbs are displayed, it does not mean that the electric powerhouse is limited by the small bulbs. The same powerhouse can supply power to operate large-scale industrial dynamos with greater volts. Similarly, the incarnations of the Lord display limited powers because so much power is needed at that particular time. For example, Lord Parashurama and Lord Nrisingadev displayed unusual opulence by killing the disobedient Kshatriyas 21 times and killing the greatly powerful atheist Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that even the demigods in other planets would tremble simply by the unfavorable raising of his eyebrow. The demons in the higher level of material existence many times excel the most well-to-do human beings in duration of life, beauty, wealth, paraphernalia, and other respects. You can see that, right? We were talking yesterday in the Sunday Feast class that many people in this world will become very rich People think, wow, what such a great personality. But here it's described that you can't compare them to the ones who are living in the heavenly planets. Because the ones who are here, who are wealthy, but they may not be so handsome. They may not be so, opulent in other ways, in their health, etc. They may have just one opulence, great opulence. But there in the demigod kingdom, people have not just all the opulences, six opulences, but they also have all the paraphernalia that goes along with those opulences. Like huge airplanes. You know, in the demigod world, the airplanes extend many hundreds of miles in the wing, just the wing. Like our airplanes extend maybe 100, 150 feet, right? The wing, you see the large airplanes, 100, 150 feet wings on both sides. So 300 feet, both sides included. The demigod's planes have hundreds of miles of wing space on both sides. Imagine how big their airplanes are, right? Huge airplanes. And that's considered normal. It's not unusual if somebody has an airplane like that, you know. And yet, it says here, still they were afraid of Hiranyakashipu. You can imagine how powerful Hiranyakashipu must have been, right? Thus, we can simply imagine how powerful Hiranyakashipu was in the material world. But even Hiranyakashipu was cut into small pieces by the nails of Lord Nrisingadev. Can you imagine how powerful Lord Nrisingadev's nails must be, right? Can cut this powerful demon Hiranyakashipu, small pieces. This means that anyone materially powerful cannot stand the strength of the Lord's nails. Similarly, Jamadagya displayed the Lord's power to kill all the disobedient kings powerfully situated in their respective states. That's talking about Parshurama. The Lord's empowered incarnation, Narada, and plenary incarnation, Varaha, as well as indirectly empowered Lord Buddha, created faith in the mass of people. The incarnations of Rama and Dhanvantari displayed his fame, and Balarama, Mohini, and Vamana exhibited his beauty. It's described that Balarama is so beautiful that even if a man sees him, he will become totally lusty. He's so beautiful. It's Balarama. Such a beautiful personality. Dattatreya, Matsya, Kumara, and Kapila exhibited his transcendental knowledge. Nara and Narayana rishis exhibited his renunciation. So all the different incarnations of the Lord indirectly or directly manifested different features. But Lord Krishna, the primeval Lord, exhibited the complete features of Godhead. And thus it is confirmed that he is the source of all other incarnations. And the most extraordinary feature exhibited by Lord Krishna was his internal energetic manifestations of his pastimes with the cowherd girls. His pastimes with the gopis are all displays of transcendental existence, bliss and knowledge, although they are manifested apparently as sex love. And this is why some of the people in India who like to be considered as God themselves, they think they want people to know them as God, they will do Rasa Leela and perform pastimes with girls, you know, so that they want to show, see, I can do that too, we can do that too. But these girls are very ordinary girls. They don't actually look very beautiful. They're described in the scripture as stinkers. They stink. They have to apply a lot of, perfume to hide their bad smell, bad aura that they have. And even then, the demigods can tell that this just, it's like, you know, a bag of rotten potatoes being smeared with some perfume. The demigods can tell this is still a bag of rotten potatoes. And these incarnations of God think that they can fool people. But even ordinary people cannot be fooled. Some people get fooled because they're so ignorant that they get fooled, but the others don't get fooled. The specific attraction of Krishna's pastime with the gopis should never be misunderstood. The Bhagavatam relates that these transcendental pastimes in the 10th canto, and in order to reach the position to understand the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, the Bhagavatam promotes the student gradually in 9 other cantos. According to Srila Jiva Goswami's statement, in accordance with authoritative sources, Lord Krishna is the source of all other incarnations. Saturday. I'd been asked to go to Houston because they started the Krishna Fest program there to do the inauguration, to start the festival off. And I was told to speak for 3 minutes. So drove up to Houston for the 3 minutes and drove back again. But at the time I arrived there, Indradyumna Maharaj was giving class. And he was citing a statement that is made by Srila Jiva Goswami in scripture that says the devotees of Krishna are so attracted to Krishna's names, they're not even interested in the other names. Because that name is so powerful. It is the source. It is the name that contains all other names of Krishna in it. When you say Krishna, you're saying all the names of Krishna. Not only are you saying all the names of Krishna, you're saying all the names of anyone in creation. When you say Krishna, did you know that? Krishna's name contains in it all the names of people in the world. All people, all things, every energy, anything you can ever imagine. And multiply that by billions of times, because your imagination is so tiny. The total creation, including the spiritual world, the material world, everyone in the spiritual world, everyone in the material world, is contained inside the name Krishna. It's how powerful the name Krishna is. And in the Bhagavad, so it says here, all the symptoms of the Supreme Truth in full are present in the person of Lord Sri Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord emphatically declares that there is no truth greater than or equal to himself. In this stanza, the Lord Swayam is particularly mentioned to confirm that Lord Krishna has no other source than himself. Although in other places the incarnations are described as Bhagavan because of their specific functions, nowhere are they declared to be the Supreme Personality. No one, not Lord Ram, not Lord Nrsingadev, no one is ever declared as the Supreme Personality. In this stanza, the word Swayam signifies the supremacy as the summum bonum, meaning the total of everything. And bigger than the total of everything. Krishna says, I am in everything, but everything is not in, everything is me, but I am not in everything. Meaning that everything is inside Krishna, but Krishna is even greater than everything. He's like the superset, the total creation, everything that exists out there, spiritual or material, personal or impersonal, or personal or things, are just a subset of Krishna. That's how big Krishna is. That's why the sky is blue. Sometimes the question is asked, why is the sky blue? Because Krishna's body is so big that everything fits inside that creation, and that's just part of his body. If it's bluish in color, the sky is also blue. The summum bonum Krishna is one without a second. He himself, there's no even second. I mean, can you imagine that? To say there's no second. That's it. It's Krishna, and it's all over. He himself has explained himself in various parts, portions, and particles as Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakasha, Tad Ekatma, Prabhava, Vaibhava, Vilasa, Avatara, Avesha, and Jivas, all provided with innumerable energies just suitable to the respective persons and personalities. Learned scholars in transcendental subjects have carefully analyzed the Samam Bonam Krishna to have 64 principal attributes. All the expansions or categories of the Lord possess only some percentage of these attributes. But Sri Krishna is the possessor of attributes 100%. And his personal expansions such as Swayam Prakasha, Tad Ekatma, and up to categories of avatars who are all Vishnu Tattva possess up to 93% of these transcendental attributes. Lord Shiva, who is neither avatara nor vesha, nor is in between them, possesses almost 84% of those attributes. It's a very powerful personality, Lord Shiva. But the jivas, or the individual beings in different statuses of life, possess up to the limit of 78% of the attributes. In the conditioned state of material existence, the living being possesses these attributes in very minute quantity. That's us. Varying in terms of the pious life of the living being. The most perfect of living beings is Brahma, the supreme administrator of one universe. He possesses 78% of the attributes in full. All other demigods have the same attributes in less quantity, whereas human beings possess the attributes in very minute quantity. The standard of perfection for a human being is to develop the attributes up to 78% in full. The living being can never possess attributes like Shiva, Vishnu, or Lord Krishna. A living being can become godly by developing the 78% transcendental attributes in fullness, but he can never become a god like Shiva. Now this is Prabhupada's writing, okay? A lot of times devotees criticize Lord Shiva. You can't criticize him. He's a very special personality, amazingly special personality. He can never become a god like Shiva, Vishnu, or Krishna. See how his Prabhupada is lining them all up. He can become a Brahma in due course. The godly living beings who are all residents of the planets in the spiritual sky are eternal associates of Krishna in different spiritual planets called Haridhama and Mahesh Dhamma. The abode of Lord Krishna above all spiritual planets is called Krishna Loka or Goloka Vrindavan. And the perfected living being, by developing 78% of those above attributes in fullness, can enter the planet of Krishna Loka after leaving the present material body. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmei Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Tamal Krishna Goswamin Itinamane. Hare Krishna. So today is the happiest day of our life. It is the appearance of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Kalachanji, Lord Sri Krishna. Kalachanji is actually Mother Yashoda's favorite name for Krishna. She calls him Kalachandra. And so he's known as Kalachandraji. And Vrindavan Basis, because they like to shorten names, just like Americans, they also like to shorten names, right? Prabhupada loved America because there's so many similarities, you know, between Americans and the Vrindavan Vasis. Amazing. We'd never expect that. A lot of people criticize Americans, but there are many great qualities that they have. And one of the best qualities Americans have is that they have a very big heart, you know. And so when somebody is not very big-hearted, you know, then people frown upon that person, say, what type of a leader are you? Why aren't you not big-hearted? Americans are big-hearted people, right? It's the only country in the world where you'll find people from many different races in large numbers. There's no other country you'll find that happening. You go to any other country and you'll find the people of that country are the largest number, and there's a small portion of some others. But America has a big mix of so many people from so many different countries, right? Like that. So Krishna is a very big-hearted person, very, very big-hearted person. And he loves each and every one of us completely. So the science of Krishna consciousness is to come to know that, simply to know that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what it means, what it says, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality, it means that he is so great Let me describe something that'll just blow you out of the water. Because when I heard it, it blew me out of the water. I guess some of you are more advanced than I am, so you may not get so blown out of the water. Well, I really got blown out of the water when I heard this. We know it says here that the highest planet in the spiritual world is Krishna Loka. Another name for Krishna Loka is Golok Vrindavan. And these are the pastimes happening in Golok Vrindavan, the windows to Golok Vrindavan in this temple. That's why people love it when they come to this temple. They find there's something special about this temple, you know. The atmosphere is special because it's the atmosphere of Golok Vrindavan. A very, very advanced devotee of Krishna, His Divine Grace Satsarup Das Goswami Maharaj, one day was giving class, sitting on a Vyasasan, and he said, actually, this temple is a petal of Vrindavan that has sprouted in the United States of America. That was his statement. I mean, that's an amazing statement to make. That means we're really in the Dham of Vrindavan. By sitting in this temple, we're in the Dham. So, it is described that Krishna is so great and his place is so great, both of them are equal. Krishna cannot be separated from Vrindavan. Krishna originally, with Mother Yashoda's favorite name is Kalachandra, but Radharani's favorite name is Shyam. She likes to call Krishna Shyam Sundar. That's her favorite name. And that's why Lord Chaitanya says, when I chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. There are only two meanings for me. And the two meanings are Yashoda Nandana and Shyama Sundar. That's what he says. You know how we say when you're chanting, the meaning of the holy name is, O energy of the Lord, O all attractive Lord, O reservoir of all pleasure, kindly engage me in your service, right? That is what we mean when we're chanting. But Lord Chaitanya says just these two names, you know. Mother Yashoda would say Kalachandra, and she won't say Yashoda Nandan because her name is Yashoda. In the spiritual world, everybody is very humble. Very humble. They don't try to promote themselves. They promote everybody else. If you look at Radharani here, all these pastimes, you'll hear Radharani is in the background. She's never in the front. Who is in the front? Lalita. Especially Lalita. She's in the front. Because she'll chastise Krishna a lot. She always straighten out Krishna because Krishna is such a crooked person. He can't stand straight, as you can see on the altar. He can't even stand straight. What to speak of his flute, what to speak of his stick, they're all crooked. Because we've got a straight flute out there. Because we love Kalachandra, so we're going to give him some credit. He's straight, his flute is straight in our temple. But Krishna is very crooked in his ways of dealing with the gopis. And so Lalita always fixes him, you know, straight. He's always afraid to see Lalita around. When Krishna sees Lalita around, he behaves himself. He knows he's going to get really chastised heavily if he misbehaves. But Radharani is always in the background. Now, Vishakha is also in the front, but Vishakha is a little more sweeter personality. Both are very sweet. Lalita is a very sweet personality, but she's a perfectionist. She wants everything to be done properly, you know. No mistakes. Vishakha is a little softer personality. So like that, these are the ones who are in the front. Radharani is always in the background. So Mother Yashoda also in the background. But anybody can knows in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, in the pastimes of Krishna, if Mother Yashoda is there, forget everybody. Krishna will go straight to Mother Yashoda. Even if Radharani is there, Krishna will go straight to Mother Yashoda. And even Radharani will go and touch Mother Yashoda's feet and become very happy to see Mother Yashoda. She is the undisputed queen of queens of Vrindavan. No doubt about it. That's Mother Yashoda. This is how powerful a person she is. So, and she's got a very big heart. Very big heart. Very beautiful person. Looking very beautiful too. She looks so beautiful. They say if you just see Mother Yashoda's face, you will forget what beauty means. You'll think there is no such thing as beauty. This is beauty. You will say. This is how beautiful she is. So, it is described that in all these great personalities are there in Goloka, right? So Goloka is a wonderful place. It is described that even a particle of dust in Goloka is more powerful than if you put the rest of the spiritual world together and the whole material world together and everybody in the spiritual world, including Vishnu, Lakshmi, and everybody else in the spiritual world, And everybody in the material world, including Brahma, Shiva, whoever else, put them all together, they cannot equal a particle of dust sitting in Golok Vrindavan. Now, what does that mean? You can't even wrap your mind around that, right? What does that mean? A particle of dust is more powerful than every person in the spiritual world and the material world outside of Golok Vrindavan. It also says in the same scripture that particle of dust is bigger than the rest of creation put together. So you take the whole spiritual world and material world, it doesn't equal the amount of space the particle of dust occupies in Golok Vrindavan, and that's how big Golok Vrindavan is. You know, I was reading one day, you know how the airplanes of the demigods are like 100 miles. You know 100 miles on wingspan, right? So he was describing the wingspan of Radharani's plane. Radharani also has her own jet, you know, private jet. And her private jet was said to be 100 trillion miles each side. Now, what's 100 trillion miles each side? And that's a jet that lands in Golok Vrindavan, you know, because that's how big Golok Vrindavan is. That a jet has that size, you know what I mean? Can you imagine what that size must be? 100 trillion miles. I mean, what does 100 trillion miles mean? Nobody can even imagine what 100 trillion miles means. That's just the wingspan on one side, another wingspan on the other side. And there are quite a few wings like that. And in the middle is the big portion where she and her gopis and the friends, and then they'll take Krishna out for a ride once in a while when he behaves himself. You know, Krishna loves getting on that airplane. He loves that airplane. He's praying every day, please can I get on that airplane? Just like sometimes we pray, right, when you're young kids. Oh, well, I'd like to go on an airplane. I want to fly here, I want to fly there. You know, like that. So that Krishna is his appearance day to day. And today he's at his most merciful. Most merciful. So today is the day we should very, very humbly, because by the way, you can imagine, Mother Yashoda, who is everything, is humble, right? We have nothing and we're not humble. We're like, no, I'm something. Please give me some respect. Please give me some position. Please, you know, recognize me. I'm someone. I'm not nothing. You know, I should have self-esteem. All these big issues we talk about in this world, right? But Mother Yashoda doesn't have any of those things, and she's the greatest. Right? So I wanted to say two things. First, I wanted to tell you a story. A story of a person on our planet, one of our devotees, who actually saw Krishna. I want to tell you a little bit of a story because Sachinandana Swami, you know, Sachinandana Swami is a very, very powerful devotee, right? He's telling everybody, please tell this story to everybody. So I thought, well, we'll do it on Janmasthami Day. We'll tell the story on Janmasthami Day. So 5 years ago, there was a terrible monsoon. This is in India. Water poured from the sky as if the end of the world had come. Soon the small lanes were turned into torrents of waters, which created a lot of trouble for both the men and the animals. Especially affected were the free roaming cows, who soon began to wander throughout the village, desperately in search of shelter to take from the devastating rainfall. This is happening in Vrindavan. One sadhu, whom the villagers called Baba, felt the obvious distress of the cows very deeply and decided to put his own bhajan or spiritual practice aside in order to help the cows. Baba thought, 5,000 years ago, Krishna had helped the cows in even more difficult situation by lifting the mountain Giriraj and held it up like a huge umbrella. Something quick needed to be done because the cows were in a similar situation as they had been at that time. So he thought, do something quickly. Baba worked day and night for 2 days getting help from whoever had a free hand to give. And at the end, he had constructed a simple rain shelter large enough to accommodate the cows of Aniyor. And thus he gathered them under the roof of his makeshift Goshala. Goshala means cow ashram. That's what Goshala means, cow ashram. Exhausted, he went to sleep together with the cows. But soon he woke up and could not fall asleep again because of hunger. That's why they say don't ever go to sleep on an empty stomach. Have at least two slices of bread or something. Then go to sleep. You can sleep a little easily. You know, just sleeping techniques. He had worked so hard that for 48 hours he had found no time whatever to eat. At around midnight, he saw a little boy entering the cowshed. He had a bowl of laddus with him and sweetly offered them to Baba. Here, eat these laddus. You must be hungry. In the morning, I will collect my bowl. And by the way, you may need this too. With these words, he handed Baba a stick for cow herding and quickly left. Everything happened in the dark and ever so quickly. The next morning, there was a big commotion in the village. The priests of the temple on top of Giriraja mountain had ordered a search of the whole village. That night, a thief had entered the temple and had stolen Nathaji is the deity of the local Krishna deity Gopal on the hill, it's called Nathaji, had stolen Nathaji's silver bowl and his cowherd stick. When Baba heard about this, he immediately went to the cowherd, to the cowshed, and inspected the bowl and the stick in the bright daylight. There was little doubt. They matched exactly the descriptions the priests had given. Could it be that the Lord had personally appeared before Baba? Fed him laddus? And provided him with a cowherd stick just to acknowledge the seva which he had done to protect the cows? Baba decided to find out for sure, but without taking the risk of becoming famous. Look at this. Can you imagine if one of us had something like that? You'd be like, whoa, man, Krishna. That's why we don't go back to Godhead, by the way, because in Godhead nobody is allowed with pride. Not allowed. Kingdom shut. You can't even get there. You can make one of the other Vaikuntha planets, but you won't make it to Goloka. We have to give up this false pride, false prestige, you know. So it says here, thus without taking risk of becoming famous as someone favored by the Lord, thus he went to the chief priest with the silver bowl and the golden stick in hand and told him that a boy had visited him at night and deposited these items, saying he would return to collect them sometime later. When the priest inspected the bowl and the stick, he immediately recognized them as the belongings of Srinathji and thanked Baba for returning the lost items of the Lord. It's just like our pujaris, you know. Our pujaris can tell. This is Krishna's, you know. If any flute got stolen, you know, people like Dharma Prabhu, they're really guardians of the flute of Krishna. That's Krishna's flute. I know it. I know that mark. It's Krishna's flute. How dare you take it? Baba must have smiled in ecstasy, thinking, If you only knew that the thief was the one you worship upon your altar. This is what Baba is thinking in his mind, okay? And he's smiling. Moral of the story? When one lives in Vrindavan, one is constantly reminded of Krishna. He is worshipped in many temples there. Devotees glorify him in song and narrations, Kolkata. Sadhus and saints describe him with affection, etc. But does he ever appear in person and make himself visible to the eyes of those who so ardently worship him? Is he only adored but remains invisible? Or does he actually engage in a tangible relationship with his worshippers? Can they hear him with their ears, touch him with their hands, eat the food he offers them, and even smell his fragrance? These questions have held my interest for such a long time because I wish to worship a God with whom I can have an experience. Having become tired of the innumerable religious concepts and mental concoctions. Right? This is the world. That's what people are in this world. Vrindavan abounds with such stories. Stories in which Krishna touches the human dimension, just like when he came down from the altar to play marbles with the village boys, etc. Imagine that? Krishna going off the altar, wants to play marbles with the village boys. Because you know when the village boys are doing things, right? You can see there's a lot of emotion, you know. They get angry if someone just moves the marble a little bit. You cheated, you know. You rascal. We should hit him, and they'll all pounce on the boy and punch him and say, you know, don't do it again, you know. Or they'll kick him out and say, you can't play marble anymore. They get really emotional. I've seen these village boys, you know. They get very emotional when they're playing. It's like their whole life is on the line or something. Oh, that one marble. Yeah. But that's Krishna. Krishna likes people to be committed. He wants commitment. When we commit, the whole creation commits. We have to first commit. He likes us to get involved like that. Anywhere else, one might be inclined to discuss such stories as imaginative. But here in Vrindavan, where Krishna seems to be standing just around the corner, the supernatural becomes totally natural, a part of life. The reason is given in the sacred scriptures. Krishna anyo yadu sambhuto yaha purnaha so asti ataha paraha Vrindavanam pati yajya sa kvachin naiva gachati. Translation. The Krishna known as Yadu Kumara is Vasudev Krishna. He is different from the Krishna who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Yadu Kumara Krishna manifests his pastimes in the cities of Mathura and Dwarka. But Kishore, the son of Nanda Maharaj, never at any time leaves Vrindavan. That's the quote. It's from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila, chapter 1, text 67. Srila Rupa Goswami writes this about Krishna. O Lord, who rises in the hearts of your devotees, you become deeply concerned when you saw your devotees and the cows troubled by the terrible rain clouds sent by Indra. Thus, you lifted the great Govardhan hill with your lotus hand. O Lord, you protected Braja. O lotus-eyed Lord, please protect me in the same way. This is from the Sri Mukunda Muktavali, text 4. So then the source says, later Baba revealed the entire story to a relative of Krishna Murari Goswami of Vrindavan, who in turn narrated that to Sachinandan Swami. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when we chant from the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that every syllable is actually pours down a flood of Krishna prema. Every syllable, for example, here we can see it says ete. Ete has how many syllables? Two syllables. Any one syllable, anywhere in the 18,000 verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam pours down a flood of Krishna prema. This is how powerful Srimad Bhagavatam is. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the description is given of the Srimad Bhagavatam by Sanatana Goswami as, O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of the Vedas. Because, you know, we study the Vedas. Here's the singular fruit. Rich mine of the precious gems of all conclusive truths. Because we want the conclusive truths, right? We want to know what's the final truth. What is the conclusion here? So of all conclusive truths, the most powerful gems of those conclusive truths, the most powerful gem is Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, in this world, there's some powerful gems. Recently, the scientists found in the core, deep down, they figured out that there's some blue diamonds there. You know? It's amazing how everything is blue, right? The big thing's all blue. I mean, you know, Krishna is sort of reminding us because we're so dense, you know, we can't remember. Just remind us, hey, blue, me, it's me. Anyway, they say any one of those blue diamonds would be worth more than all of the other diamonds that we know of and all the rubies and all the sapphires and everything you put together, all the gems. They would not equal one of those blue diamond gems sitting in the core of this planet. Can you imagine how wealthy this planet is, right? This planet is so wealthy. And yet in the demigod kingdom, the poorest demigod, he has change in his pocket valued at 2 or 3 planet Earths. Talk about what rich people are like, right? And we think we're rich. Our rich are all beggars, right? Data Ikaram, Bikhari Sari Dunya. Right? Our rich people have their hand out today saying, give me more money, right? Name any rich person, he's got his hand out. Not only one hand, he's got 2 hands. Not only 2 hands, he's got like 100,000 people working for him, and their 2 hands out too. That means 200,000 hands, right? Begging every day. He's so rich. The poor beggar on, you know, that ramp that we come down, he only has 1 hand out, right? I mean, he's a richer beggar. He's only got 1 hand out. These poor beggars got 200,000 hands out. That's a real poor beggar, right? He's got 200,000 hands out. So in this world, the richest people are the biggest beggars. The richer you become, the bigger the beggar you'll be. How wonderful, right? What a great quality to have. I became successful in my life. I became the biggest beggar. This is how crazy our world is. This is how unintelligent we have become. Krishna's devotee has Krishna. When you have Krishna, what to speak of just one particle of dust on the planet of Golok Vrindavan, you have the whole of Golok Vrindavan and more than that, in just Krishna. This is why the devotee is running after Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. They're crying, running after Krishna. Dhai pache pache, like they say. Running after Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Please. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. This is our thing. Now why? Then it also says that you are the only giver of light to all the worlds, right? Then it says, oh, life heir of the Supreme Lord's devotees. The Srimad Bhagavatam is our life heir. You have a problem with your health? Turn to Srimad Bhagavatam. Your life heir will become better. If your prana is better, your health will automatically become better. Right? Oh, life heir of the devotees. This is not... By the way, this is not just, you know, some figurative sentence, okay? This is real truth. This is absolute truth. Oh, life heir of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, by the way. None of them are counted out. Oh, Master, Srimad Bhaktam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali. You are the exact image of Sri Krishna. Srimad Bhaktam, exactly Krishna. Now, later on, we'll see what else. He says, I bow down to you as supremely blissful to read. If you want to become blissful, read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself. We can allow anybody to do this service. They don't have to be Krishna devotees. They can be atheistic. They can be anybody. You can serve Krishna by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. This is why we should always be reading Srimad Bhagavatam aloud so others can hear. Then it says, this is the one I wanted to turn to this verse. What are we looking for in this world? We're looking for good friends, right? Everyone likes to have good friends. Because when you have good friends, you sort of, it's, life is easier, right? Life becomes a lot easier. So here it says, my only friend. That's going to be a little hard to wear, you know. For the best friend, my best friend to wear that statement, my only friend is Bhagavatam. I think my best friend is going to become a little unhappy with me. I thought I was your best friend. Suddenly I'm not even your friend now. Your only friend is Srimad Bhagavatam. Because when you have Bhagavatam as your friend, then everyone is your friend. The whole creation becomes your friend. My constant companion should always have Srimad Bhagavatam in your heart. That's why they say the best meditation system is to read Srimad Bhagavatam early in the morning, Say 5 minutes or 10 minutes. During the day, try to meditate on what you read from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the evening, before you lights out, go off to sleep, read the same 10 minutes or 5 minutes again, just to remind yourself how much you remembered during the day what you read in the morning. Because I can guarantee you, in the beginning, you'll remember very little what you read in the morning. Our memories are so poor, you know. We're so distracted. But imagine all day long, if you're meditating on what you read in the morning, that means you're with the Srimad Bhagavatam all the time, right? Becomes your constant friend. And you watch, try this. I've checked this out myself, and I've asked other people, one time I was teaching meditation class here, and the people who were coming were not, a lot of them were from the restaurant, they were not Hare Krishna devotees. They were not interested in Hare Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a little big, so I told them do it from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. They called me back, and they said, amazing things are happening in our lives. I said, there you go. You want the best pay from your boss? Do this meditation, you watch how your pay rate will go up. Check it out. I'm saying it openly, it's recorded. This is being recorded. This is going to go on the cloud, on the Kalachanji cloud. And you can hear this anytime into posterity, 1,000 years from now, that I said this. Test it out. You don't have to believe me. You test it. Say, I don't believe it. But I'm going to read 10 minutes about them in the morning, and I'm going to try and meditate on it, what I read during the day, and I'm going to read the same 10 minutes in the evening before I go to sleep, and I'm going to make this my practice. After 1 month or 2 months of doing this, watch your pay rate. Watch how your boss becomes happy with you. Watch how your wife becomes happy with you. Very hard to make the wife happy, right? Men know that. I've been marriage counselor for 42 years. I'm finding it impossible to make my wife happy. And I've been trying for 40 years. That's a long time, okay? I've been married 40 years and I've been trying to make my wife happy. And then she always frowns at me when she sees me for the first time. That's not a sign of happiness, you know what I'm saying? That's a sign of, man, not again. You're back in my life again. Where'd you come from? Go and crawl under that rock you came out of again. You know? Okay? But if you do this, they'll see the smile in your wife's face and you'll think, wow, how did that happen? My spiritual master. Bhagavatam is described as the spiritual master. Our actual spiritual masters are manifestations of Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So our spiritual master becomes happy with us. And how nice is that, right? To make the spiritual master happy. You know? Recently when I was coming from Japan, I was chanting. I like to chant a lot. But, you know, after a while you feel like you're losing your voice or like that. So I thought I'd just listen to some of the songs on Japan Airlines system where you hear right with the microphone. And amazingly, this song came up. It was by the Carpenters. I mean, how many of you know who the Carpenters were? Okay, great, great, great. And there's a couple, right? The Carpenters were a couple in this song, Top of the World. I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. I'm on, your love's put me on the top of the world. Right? That's what the song says, right? I'm on the top of the world, looking out at creation, and the only explanation I can find why I'm on the top of the world is the love that I've found ever since you've been around. Ever since who's been around? Oh, come on. Krishna's been around a long time. You haven't felt love. How many of you have seen Krishna? Put your hand up. How can you say since Krishna's been around? You don't even know Krishna. You think you know Krishna. Anybody hardly knows Krishna. Come on, somebody else. Since that person came in your life became happy. Who is that person? Oh, please. Yes, the guru, right? How many of you are initiated by a spiritual master? Put your hands up. Keep your hands up if after you saw your spiritual master, you found love in your life, real love in the life of a person, right? People love their spiritual master. They really love their spiritual master. If Radhanath Maharaj was to walk into this temple, do you think you'd be looking at me? Who would be looking at me? Put your hands up. Nobody. Somebody's trying to put his hand up because he wants to be nice to me. But the point is, because people love the spiritual master, right? When you love the spiritual master, when you see the spiritual master, you become happy. When you hear about the spiritual master, you become happy. So, I've become happy ever since I have found the love of my spiritual master. He's the person who I love the most and who loves me the most also. Fact, here is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it says here, my spiritual master. Now the next one, everybody will love. My great wealth. Now in this world, everybody is trying to accumulate wealth, right? Everybody watches their bank balance, the stock market, share market value for their stocks, whatever else they got out there, right? 401k plan, and whatever they got underneath their mattress. You know, the Indian style is put it underneath the mattress, right? Can't trust the government. Then, of course, comes Modi and demonetizes everything. Now your money under the mattress is worth nothing. Of course, you have to run to the bank and put it in the bank. Pay a huge tax fine, right, for suddenly declaring all that income. My savior, look at this, my savior, the person who saves me. My good fortune, we all want good fortune, right? This is Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam. My source of ecstasy. Everybody is doing whatever they're doing because they want to be ecstatic. They want to be happy. Right? So, this is ecstasy. It says, I bow down to you. Then it says, oh, bestow of saintliness to the unsaintly. So, who's unsaintly? Who's unsaintly? Not me, right? Everybody else, not me. I'm the one who's unsaintly. So it says here, or bestow of saintliness, or bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, or exalter of the most fallen. Now Prabhupada said nobody is the most fallen, because that would be a great, you know, achievement, right? You became the most fallen. You became the most something in your life. You know? Fortunately, we can't even become the most fallen. We're so bad, we can't even become the most fallen. But here it says here, exalter of the most fallen, which means exalting everybody else too in the process, right? Then it says, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my mind and my voice with pure love. So this is Krishna Janmasthami. This is the benefit of celebrating Sri Krishna Janmasthami. We can get these benefits. So please, everybody should be very happy today. Whoever comes in as guests at our temple, please receive them nicely. Please be very, very nice to them, very loving to them. They should feel like the only place I want to go to for Krishna Janmasthami is Radha Kala Chanji Temple in Dallas. For those who are in Dallas, they should feel like that. Because the servants are so nice. We are the servants. We should be so nice to everybody that they become very happy to come, especially on Krishna Janmasthami. Hare Krishna. I'm going to ask if any would like to say something or ask any questions. And then we'll start with Kirtan. That'll go all through the day. Lunchtime aarti, 4 o'clock. Of course, right now you can see the flower dresses they've started making. And 4 o'clock, this dress will be on the deities. Please have darshan. Come and take some nice photographs of the deities. And then rest of the program continues. We're hoping they won't rain so much. Let's see. It just described a story where it rained a lot. So you never know. Whatever Krishna wants. Yes, Dharma Prabhu. Anybody got a mic working? Yeah.
Thank you for a wonderful class. Happy Janmashtami.
Happy Janmashtami to everyone.
Why is it that the highest, most relishable relationships, knowledge of Krishna is available to us? When, you know, I think about how unqualified I am and how much I still struggle. Mm. I don't understand it.
Yeah. How has it become available to us? This is why we're talking about two qualities, right? I spoke about humility, but I didn't speak about the second one. The second one is being joyful. I mean, you know, like say, for example, when someone wins the lottery, do you think they feel like I deserved it? I won the lottery. I mean, I deserve this. No, they feel I didn't deserve this, right? And suddenly I've got like hundreds of millions of dollars. They become really ecstatic, right? Oh, I got all this money, even though I never worked so hard. I got all this money. So that gives them a lot of pleasure, right? They become really, really happy. So it is described that we become very happy knowing that we did not deserve it. So why, again, does that happiness come to us? Why is that opportunity come to us? Well, really, it is an opportunity, and Lord Nityananda describes that one should pay any price for this opportunity to serve Krishna, to chant the holy names of Krishna, right? So this question was asked of Krishna himself. Why do you give yourself to anybody? You know, like that. Because in our scriptures, it is clearly described that Krishna's love is causeless. Means there cannot be a cause. Because the moment you put a cause to Krishna's love, the cause becomes the love. So if the cause is that Krishna will go to rich people, then it is wealth that is the cause of Krishna's love. And we know wealth is not the cause of Krishna's love. Many of Krishna's devotees do not have wealth. A great example is Sudama, right? He ate every third day. His children ate every second day. Every second day was Ekadasi for them. And by the way, at that time, Ekadasi, they did a full fast. So unlike us, we eat some nice prasadam. Like Kumar Krishna Maharaj once said in ISKCON, fasting means feasting. Because in Ekadasi, they make all these nice preparations, right? That might be even better than the other preparations. So why? Why? So Krishna gives, this is what Krishna's explanation is. Krishna says that everything is about love. Everything is about love. And he says, the only thing that I really appreciate is the love of my devotee. Because I have everything. He has everything. Millions of Lakshmis are running after him, right? In the morning we sing that, Chintamani Prakarasadma Sukalpa Viksha Laksha Viteshu Suravira Vichaliyantam Lakshmi Sahasra Lakshmi Sahasra? Yeah, Shakti Samviman. So basically, many, many hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis are running after Krishna. So it's not, those are not what Krishna wants. I mean, you know, he appreciates it, but it's not what Krishna is looking for. He's looking for love, right? So he says, how do I notice the love in people? He said, notice the love when, no matter what happens, they still say, I love you to me, you know? This is why I say the most important thing you can do in your life is wake up in the morning and say to Krishna and Guru, my dear Guru and Krishna, I love you. I am yours and you are mine. And in the evening before you go to bed, say the same thing again. And offer you whatever you do for their pleasure. In the morning and in the evening, say that I did it for your pleasure, like that. And he says, then something else happens, because even that doesn't convince Krishna. Because, you know, we left Krishna and came here, so Krishna is not going to be convinced by saying, I love you. How many times in this world do you hear people say, I love you, and you know they don't love anybody. They just say, I love you, right? It's such an easy thing to say. I love you. I love you. Even the dog can say, I love you. You can check it out on Google, by the way. I checked it out on Google, but somebody said I didn't believe it. So I Googled it on YouTube. I went to YouTube, and there's a whole video on dogs saying, I love you. I love you. The dog is saying it, but no, it's not some human being saying it behind the dog. And it's in dog language. You can tell it's dog saying it because the way he says it sounds like a dog. And dog is saying, I love you. And different dogs of different type. Pomeranian say it differently. The Alsatian says it differently. The German Shepherd says it differently. The Labrador says it differently. The Doberman Pinscher says it differently. They're saying, I love you. Now, if a dog says, I love you, do you think the dog loves you? You marry the dog? I love you. You know? People say, I love you in this world very easily, okay? It's a cheap word. Love is a cheap word. It's not real love. So Krishna knows that. Devotee is saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. Krishna knows. Something just has to go a little wrong, right? You know, the Gurukulis, we're trying to promote, you know, some services for the Gurukulis. Where the Gurukulis don't want to get a job. They don't want to get a mundane job. That's for karmis. It's not for us. And they don't want to work in the temple because they don't get paid, right, in the temple. So what do you do? You're stuck in the middle. You got to have some income in your life. So we've been trying to figure this out. So finally some of us have figured it out, and I'm one of them, and we figured out how we're going to work with the Gurukulis. So they learn some money at the same time, promote Krishna consciousness, right? At different levels, like in the Bhagavatam it says, first mortal goodness, then self-realization, then full-on Krishna consciousness. So there are some of us, we're getting together, and we're calling ourselves oracles, the celestial oracles. Oracles means a person who gives some extraordinary advice or something like that, right? Because Bhagavatam full of extraordinary advice. Just You're an oracle. Every one of devotees is an oracle here. So anyway, and Karmi people like the name oracle. Westerners especially love the name oracle. Oh, you're an oracle. Can you please tell me about this? Like that, right? Okay, so anyway, so there was one boy, and he is actually a Gurukuli boy. But he was struggling. So some of us oracles got together and gave him some advice. If you do this, you'll become successful, you know? You'll become very successful. So he went to Hollywood, and he thought, I'm going to try it in Hollywood. He had some very, according to the readings, he had very powerful speech capacity. You know, when he speaks, people think he's speaking the truth, you know, like that. So he had this capacity. So he said, use it, you know. You got the gifts of the gab, use it. So he thought, where better to go than to Hollywood? Let's go to Hollywood and try it out in Hollywood. So he went to Hollywood. Lo and behold, we're hearing, you know, people are giving him $5,000, $10,000 for advice. This guy is sending us, you know, with his phone, he's taking photographs of all these bills, you know, $100 bills, and he's going like this, and he's laughing. I just got $5,000. I just got $10,000. Next thing we heard, he left his wife, he left his children, and he gave up his Krishna consciousness. I love you. I love you. That's what devotees say to Krishna until the test comes. The test is not pain. If you think pain is a test, pain is not a very good test. Because when you're painful, what is going to happen? You're going to cry. Who are you going to cry for? Nobody else is helping you. You're going to cry for Krishna. That's not a very good test. The best test is when you're really successful. You become very successful. People love you. They give you a lot of money. You can have anything you like. Huh, now let me see you saying, oh, Krishna, I am nothing. Without you, I cannot do anything. I love you so much. I don't like this material world. I want to go back home to back to Godhead. You hear them saying things like that? No. Right? And this Goya is the test. So I was telling the other oracle, see what happens when people don't really say, I love you. But Krishna says, when my devotee does something, then I realize he loves me. Guess what it is? Huh? When he serves my other devotees. When he actually doesn't say it that way, but he says when they love my people. Now who are the people of Krishna? Who are the people of Krishna? Huh? Everyone. Krishna says that. In the scriptures it says that Jivera Sarupa Hoy Nityara Krishnadas. Every living entity is actually Krishna's beloved. Krishna loves all of his children. He says, Aham Bij Pradapita. How many of you are parents, by the way? Parents? How many of you don't love your children? Parents who don't love your children, keep your hand up. There you go. We love our children. Everybody loves their children. Dog loves their children. You try to get near a puppy, I mean a female dog, when she's given birth to puppies, you try and get near to the puppies, what happens? What does she do? What does the mother do? She growls, right? Brrr. Don't come near my puppies. I love my puppies. Nobody touch my puppies. Right? Even the dog loves the puppies. Humans definitely love their children, right? We love our children. Krishna is greater than us. He doesn't love his children? Of course he loves his children. So when we show some love towards his children, Krishna realizes this person has real love. This person has real love. Then the question is answered that Dharma Prabhu asked, why do we get that love? We must have done something nice to some of his children. Not all, but some. Some child we really did something for. That child became happy because we did something for that child. Right? And that's why the best people to look for to serve are the people who are the most in difficulty. Whereas we try to serve people who are not too much in difficulty, right? Because then they'll take too much from us. But actually the best people to serve are the ones who have the greatest problem. Recently, Ritadvaja Maharaj Swami left from Dallas and went to Vrindavan. Do you know why he went to Vrindavan? Yeah, to look after who? Gunagrahi Maharaj. Why? Because Gunagrahi Maharaj is really suffering. I just got an email yesterday. He's really, really suffering. The pain he's going through is so hard. Ritadwaja Maharaj is saying, please pray for me. Even I cannot bear the pain that I'm seeing in him. It's hard to see pain in others, you know. It's very hard. This is why psychiatrists become suicidal. When they hear all this pain from others, they become so painful, they become suicidal. They're making money from somebody else's pain, and they also want to commit suicide now. The money is not helping them. So, but that is Ritadwaja Maharaj's greatness. When other people would sort of stay away from a person who's really, really suffering that hard, he sort of went and dived right into the middle of it all. And now he's suffering himself. He's saying, I'm having problems. I can't sleep at night properly because I'm having all this anxiety seeing him in so much pain. Because the mind cannot tell whether it's my pain or somebody else's pain. When mind sees pain, that's why it says, do not watch television and things like that where you see some bad things happening on the screen. Because the mind cannot tell whether I'm doing it or the person on the screen is doing it. And you get the karma. Once the mind thinks I did it, you get the karma. Why do you get the free karma? Somebody killed somebody on TV and you got the karma for killing that person? That's not a very smart exercise. And then you think, why do I have problems in my lives? Well, thank you very much. You just bought all these problems free of charge, right? You went around telling people, I'll buy your debt. Here's money, I'll buy your debt. And then one day you found yourself so much in debt. Now you have no money because you're totally in debt. That's not a very smart thing to do. Unless you can sell that debt to some stupid person at a higher price. Some people do that, by the way. It's amazing how people make money in this world. I was just listening yesterday. This person was telling us how people make money. You know, they go to Dollar General and they buy, you know, things are available for a dollar, right? That, like, say, for example, a snack. They'll buy a snack for a dollar and then they'll go online on eBay and sell it for $15. How many of you think he might be making money? Put your hand up. Doing that. That's what he does. For every $26 he spends at Dollar General, he makes $1,000 profit. How many people think that's possible? It's actually happening. How many of you would buy the thing that you buy at Dollar General for $1 for $15? Put your hands up. People are doing that out there. Because they're sitting at home. The guy just got some drug money, right? He just sold some drugs, got a lot of money. He doesn't want to go to the Dollar General store to buy some cookies. So he goes online, and the first one that comes up is the $15 cookie. He buys it. The same thing was available at Dollar General for $1. Or if he had just stayed online a little longer and researched it, it was online too for $1.25, $1.30, or whatever. He doesn't do that. He's so lazy. People are so lazy. The first one that comes up, buy. This guy is making $30,000 a month. And he works out of his, undergarments. Okay? You go and see him. He actually shows himself a video walking into a store. And you think that this guy must be homeless or something, you know. And he just picks things up from his trolley and puts it in and goes home. That's all. And he puts it in his cabinet. Then he goes online. He loads everything on the eBay channel. And then he sits back and he waits for all these people who come and buy the things from him at exorbitant prices. Now, if you feel that's not true, check it out yourself, okay? Go and look for a cookie online that you want to buy a packet of cookies and see how many prices you'll see for the same cookie coming up at the same time. On the same, what you call. The same cookie is sold for $1.50. Another one is saying I'm selling for $4. Another one say I'm selling for $15. Another one saying I'm selling for $5. You'll see all sorts of prices for the same exact cookie. Now what do we do as Indians? We think, okay, that's the cheapest price. Now let me go to the store and find out if I can get it cheaper. I researched my prices right before I went to Walmart. That's why Indians are rich, you know what I mean? They make money, but they don't spend it. That's why the Chinese are rich. They do the same thing. But the Americans, they'll spend the money faster than they earn it. That's why Americans are good customers. You know? But the point is that this is the world. Amazing things are happening out in the world. Amazing things. The guy makes $30,000 and he says, I never work more than 3 or 4 hours a week. $5 a week max. And he earns $30,000 a month. How many of you earn $30,000 a month? $20,000 a month. $10,000 a month, some of you do. I know you're not doing your hands up. You're thinking I might ask you for a donation or something, right? So you can see, right? This is what's happening. Be smart. Let's be smart. Devotees. Prabhupada said, devotees should not work. They should run their own business. And be smart. Just start some businesses on the side. You don't have to do it all the time. Just do it in the weekend, right? Sell in the weekend. Saturday and Sunday. My store is only open on Saturdays and Sundays. Between the hours of 12 and 2 in the afternoon. That's it. You want to buy the product? You buy it at that time. You'll be surprised how many people will wait between 12 and 2 to buy a product. But they think it must be some special store. Only open for 2 hours. I was one of the customers. I bought from that store. It was only open for 2 hours. Check it out, man. You think I'm crazy? I put this online. By the way, all this is on SoundCloud. I'm very aware this is being recorded. And everything I'm saying in posterity will be looked at. Boy, that Nityananda was one crazy temple president. But these are facts. These are facts. Any other questions? By the way, does that sound good?
Thank you, Prabhu.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much for the wonderful class.
Hare Krishna.
The more we read about in scriptures, we see distinct moods sometimes. Like when I was reading about the queens of Krishna in Dwarka.
Right, right.
Rukmini, Mother Rukmini, she is very submissive, very surrendered to Krishna.
Yes.
But we also read about Satyabhama, who she is like, she's always demanding. She always likes to expect things from Krishna.
Yes.
So, and of course, we are not at that stage, but sometimes you feel that you're more inclined to that kind of a mood, though we are not really supposed to.
That's true.
So I just wanted to hear.
So how do you do that? Basically, internally you do that with Krishna. Externally you don't do it with anybody else, but internally do that with Krishna. Play those games internally with Krishna and the, whoever the associates are around him also. But don't do it externally. Externally stay humble. Stay very humble. Learn from the example of Radharani and all of the wonderful acharyas. Each of the acharyas, you can see, they're very humble, right? If you hear the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, tears come to your eyes. How he belittles himself, right? Berates himself. I'm nothing, you know? I pray to be born as an insect on the wall of some devotee, in some devotee's house, so that I can hear the holy names. So, idea is, yes, there are a big variety of different ways we relate with Krishna, but that's with Krishna. Here in this world, because we're relating with other people, we have to be humble like that. Stay subdued. But internally you can be as wild as you like. Internally play wild. And how people know how wild you are inside? When your daughter behaves. When the daughter behaves in a certain way, you can tell the father is like that, you know? When the son behaves in some way, you know the mother is like that. Mother may be a very nice girl, but when the son misbehaves, you know that mother's inside is like that. When a girl misbehaves, you know the father's inside is like that. Okay, Hare Krishna, we now have to start with Kirtan, 9:30. We are starting Kirtan. Who's doing the first Kirtan? Who's our first Kirtanaya here? There's something on the list there. Somebody should be there. Just check it out. Jai Sri 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 Krishna Janamastami Atsavaki Jai Vanchakapaturvascha Kripasanubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnava Brindaki Jai. What name does it have? Brinda. Brinda and Chakrika. Is Brinda here? What happened to Brinda? She's very much on time. Chakrika. Oh, they're the little girls. I think they might be. Anyway, somebody else can start the kirtan. Whoever's in the line, just do it early and then they come in and do it later. That's all. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Gaura Bhakta Brinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.